Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, bringing a full slate of entertainment to Farmington and San Juan County. The immersive experience of the Spirit Coalescence, Saturday, January 29th at 7 p.m. The Farmington Civic Center, 200 West Arrington in downtown Farmington. Find out more online at fmtn.org/shows or at 505-599-1148. It is Thursday morning here on KSJE, and joining me now in the studio to talk a little bit about kids and their health and COVID-19, Dr. Brad Scoggins is here from San Juan Health Partners Pediatrics. Dr. Scoggins, good to have you back. Good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. We were just talking before we came on the air this morning. You've seen one flu case this winter so far, as I knock on wood here, but
yes,
that's rare.
It's quite rare. By this point,
wow,
usually a couple of weeks after Christmas, we start to see an uptick in influenza cases, and we're just not seeing it again this year. It's very unusual.
Okay. And I would assume, me being a non-medical person, that because we're masking and washing our hands and trying to be careful and distancing, is that maybe the reason for...
I believe that could contribute, but I'm not sure it's the whole story.
Okay.
I think there are some other factors like limitations in international travel that are probably contributing to it, because most of our influenza strains come from across the pond.
Interesting. Right.
So that's thing number one. And then thing number two is I'm seeing all the other respiratory viral illnesses coming back in full force with schools being back in session. So as far as where flu is, I'm not sure.
Gotcha. So flu is down, but some of the other things are not down.
Yeah, certainly some of the other things are not down. In spite of the masking and so forth,
yeah,
among particularly school-age children, we're seeing passing around of rhinovirus and parainfluenza. And actually now, after this entire duration of pandemic, seeing almost no COVID-19, particularly in hospitalized kids, I did, as of last week, start to see an uptick in hospitalizations for COVID-19 infections in kids. Now, the silver lining to that is they're pretty mild infections. It's croup and bronchiolitis, as are caused by some other different viral pathogens, and they turn around just as quickly. They're in and out within a day.
Interesting. And so let's talk about COVID and kids, because, again, now there's vaccines are now approved. Pfizer's at least the one that's been approved for kids, younger kids now in addition. And so... Mm-hmm. That seems to be pretty effective, right? There's still, for some reason, a lot of controversy about the vaccines. But with kids who are vaccinated, are you seeing them hospitalized like others that aren't?
Most of the kids we're seeing hospitalized are too young even for the available vaccine. It's the young toddler age kids.
Gotcha.
I am not noticing any difference in hospitalizations, at least in our area, between vaccinated and unvaccinated kids, just because we're not seeing much of them at all.
Right.
And that's been true through the duration of the pandemic, which has been just a tremendous blessing. Because if you look at pandemics, historically speaking, particularly respiratory pandemics, they affect kids, the very young and the very old. And we have been very much spared of the burden in children for COVID-19.
That's good news.
Fantastic news.
But I can't think of anything more traumatizing for a parent to know that your child has tested positive for COVID-19 and they're too young to get the vaccine that has been proved very effective in children and adults, in study after study after after study.
Right, and you know, if you know, some people I think discount the studies they see, and there's reason for some doubt in studies that we see. I mean, I can sympathize with that viewpoint, but I can tell you empirically, and I know when Dr. Greenberg and Dr. Philpott come on tomorrow, they'll be able to give you some awesome raw data on just how much the vaccine's keeping people out of the hospital. And I think that is at least part of the current situation with Omicron, is that we have so many people vaccinated at this point and so much prior infection that we're starting to see an expected shift in this, and I'll knock on wood with this one too, but an expected shift from a pandemic phase to more of an endemic phase. So I hope that gives people some hope and a little bit less fear. Certainly get your vaccine to keep yourself out of the hospital. Spread among individuals seems to still happen, even among the vaccinated. But the real magic in the vaccine at this point is keeping people out of the hospital.
Right. And alive.
And relatively happy compared to how they would otherwise feel.
Right. Well, and we still hear about the long COVID symptoms of folks who do contract COVID-19 and they're not hospitalized, but they're not dying, which is great, but they still have these other health impacts, whether it's lung issues or heart issues or brain issues. I mean, I think there's still a lot of studies being done about the long-term effects of being infected with COVID and surviving it, but then what that means, down the road, you're not maybe back to 100% like you were before you were infected. Is that a true statement?
It does seem that there are some cases like that, and certainly the vaccine seems to be helping against those also.
Good.
Which I think if you reduce the severity of that initial infection, you probably won't have as many of those long-term symptoms.
Gotcha.
We just
don't know, though. I guess that's I'm sorry to interrupt,
no,
but
that's
we just
fine.
Don't know. At least for me, it's always been my thinking that I may get it, but I don't know how serious I would get. I mean, we hear cases of folks that are vaccinated and they were infected and they get very, very sick, and cases of folks who aren't vaccinated and they get it and they're not hardly sick at all. And so it seems to be kind of a crapshoot to wonder how this virus will affect your individual health.
Right, and there's such a huge myriad of factors as to why some people get infected and some don't. And I mean, COVID just throws that into sharp contrast, but that's true of any virus and any infection. We don't know why some people get skin infections and abscesses more than others. We have beginnings of understandings of those things, but the picture is far from complete. I don't want to run too far away from the long COVID symptoms. What I encourage people to do to help avoid that is, in spite of feeling sick, as soon as you're functional again, you need to get up and move. Because I think too often, a lot of the long COVID stuff comes from inactivity and poor diet and, trying to push yourself back into a little bit more normal living certainly helps. And we see that in lots of other disease processes. I'll just use concussions as an example. The evidence for concussion shifts a lot, and right now we're back to kids and, well, anybody should get back to regular activity after a concussion faster, and it really cuts the symptoms short. So any insults like that, the faster you get back to being healthy and healthy habits, the better off you'll be. Don't lay on the couch and binge Netflix. Probably the worst thing you could do.
Darn it. Okay. Well, appreciate the advice, Dr. Scoggins.
Yeah, of course,
that's important to know, but good to know. The other thing I want to ask you about, too, is just our regular childhood vaccinations that we all got growing up. And parents are still encouraged to get for their kids. I think it's still required to go to school and things along that line. So there's a lot of good that comes from a population that is vaccinated when it comes to public health.
Yeah, well said. We've blissfully unaware as pediatric residents in this country at this point in time, having not for the last couple of decades really seen much in the way of most residents will never see a case of measles. You almost never see a case of chickenpox anymore because we vaccinate against them. And along with that, we see a pretty sharp decrease in the serious sequela or the serious infections you can get with those infections. During the pandemic, there was a sharp drop off in children getting their routine vaccinations. And I think that's a big problem, because what we have worried about nationwide is that we have now this big unvaccinated population that's going to be just a nidus for an infection to come over here from another country and take hold. So we at San Juan Pediatrics have been pretty diligent about making sure we keep the young vaccination age children coming into clinic for their well checks and getting their vaccines. So I think in this area we've done a good job, but nationwide there was a sharp decrease. So we've worried about another pandemic following this pandemic of vaccine preventable illnesses.
Got you. Yeah. Not COVID, but something that we've heard about that we thought we'd gotten rid of, like the measles, the smallpox, some other type,
God
that
forbid,
type of
polio.
Thing.
Right.
Right. And those things have been pretty much eradicated because of effective vaccines.
Right.
In the last 50 years.
Yeah, or even longer. I mean, let's go back.
Smallpox has been gone for a long time.
And that's a fantastic story, smallpox. I mean, the Continental Army, led by George Washington, they mandated vaccination against smallpox for any of the regular soldiers. And it was wildly unpopular at that time, too.
Shocking. Shocking, right? That it was unpopular.
Yeah, Americans don't like to be told what to do.
Right. That's true. But it was George Washington, right? So
exactly.
I guess he made his point.
He did, and because of that, we had a Continental Army to fight the British. And if we had not had a standing army because they all died of smallpox, our story would have been very different.
We'd be talking with British accents, I think, at the moment.
Which would be cool.
It would be kind of cool,
right.
True. But, but other than that, interesting.
The accent's the benefit.
Yeah, yeah, right. I guess that's maybe the only thing you can maybe think that would be positive. But in any event, but it just goes to show the long history of successful vaccinations in this country. And I guess it also shows a little bit about the need maybe for a more worldwide effort to vaccinate our world population, because that would really help to stop the spread of all these things, because we're not going to stop traveling internationally, and that's, I guess, how these things spread, usually.
Oh, yeah. That's a fantastic point. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I mean today, you know, a person could get on a plane with a virus anywhere in the country, and, I mean, if you just look at where they move and how many people they contact, that virus will be worldwide in a very short period of time. So, that is one of the things to strongly consider, is vaccination, particularly for international travel. Very, very important.
Right. Well, and I think there's been some movies made about things like that could happen.
Oh,
And we've kind of seen how it does spread around the globe fairly quickly. And so for some of these poorer countries that don't have the resources that some of the richer countries do to vaccinate their population, I think that's maybe a new focus that we're hearing about now.
Yeah, well said. And I think, I do think it's important.
Very good. Let me ask you a little bit of a topic closer to home, which is the renovation of the pediatrics wing at San Juan Regional Medical Center. You were here not too long ago talking with me. I'm trying to remember when it was, but it's been maybe a year?
It's been a while.
Or summer?
Somewhere
6 months?
Around then.
Time flies when we're in a pandemic.
Yeah.
But you and your family have been very instrumental in going forward and talking about the need to renovate the pediatrics floor at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And there's been a major fundraising campaign, and I believe that you're telling me you're pretty close, if not achieved your goal. How do things look today?
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Yeah, and another thanks to Ginger for her assistance in the whole process, because she was interim director of San Juan Medical Foundation at the time the fundraising
was
happening.
The newly retired, well-deserved Ginger Palmer.
Well said, yes.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Yes, exactly. And so the foundation was the main fundraising arm for this project, right?
Indeed they were, and a fantastic job they did. We know our initial estimate of $500,000 to do the remodel didn't come close to meeting the demand once the construction prices and demand went up. So so the price went up by 50%. And last I heard, I believe we're in the upper 700s as far as what we had raised.
Wow.
Or at least been committed.
Okay.
So I think, as soon as the pandemic calms down, we can kind of find building materials again.
Supply chain, right.
Supply chain, all that fun stuff. I think the slated start date will be this upcoming fall.
Okay.
But, of course, it's a moving target.
Of course.
We're very eager, and I love that picture there of what the wing's going to look like.
Right. Talk to me a little bit about that, because there's really been a lot of thoughtful design, I think, in these changes, right, to kind of make it more friendly for the kids and their families who are coming and maybe having to stay at the hospital, things like that, right?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, of course, staying in the hospital with a child is even worse than staying in the hospital probably just yourself.
Right.
So the new wing has been designed with an eye to comfort and flow and bright colors, more of a healing environment. And that is really important, particularly for kids. I mean, we see it all the time. The quicker we know they're ready to go home when they start playing and smiling and they're happy again. There will be also some attention paid to what the parents will have to sleep on. There'll be much larger, more comfortable sleeper sofas. And I forget exactly who those were donated by, and that embarrasses me, but it was the volunteers. It was the auxiliary, I believe.
Nice.
Yeah, they donated the sleeping sofas for the parents. So that's going to be a marked improvement, as will every room having a bathroom in it. You know, as it
that's
is
different.
Right, as it is right now, not every room has an ensuite bathroom, and there's one shower room down the hallway. So we are eagerly awaiting having those things available for patients. Yeah.
Very good. Well, and I'm trying to think of maybe the last time this area of the hospital saw some renovation, and I think it's been a while.
I believe the 70s.
I mean,
there may have been a little facelift along the way, but it wasn't much.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting. Well, congratulations on the successful fundraising campaign during a pandemic. And I know a lot of folks are looking forward to seeing the changes. So when things get started here, hopefully later on this year, we'll hope things work pretty quickly. I imagine they'll try to as conditions allow.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. And if we can get it done kind of like the guys that work on the highways in the mountains, you know, if we can get it done before our big surge happens again each winter, that will be certainly ideal.
Right, yeah. Exactly. The other thing I wanted to ask you a little bit about is staffing. I know there was the situation, and I think it's unfortunately ongoing, of shortage of nurses and maybe doctors and others in the medical field, not just here in San Juan County, but I think this is a nationwide problem that hospitals are facing with this influx of patients, and then you have less staff to care for them. And so that's part of the problem I think we're seeing with the overflow of patients and just the stress on our healthcare system. That's continuing, right?
Oh, very, very well said. Yes. And you know, of course, Dr. Greenberg and Philpott will be able to speak to this even more so. Their areas are more heavily impacted than pediatrics. Across the board, nurses leaving the profession in pretty big numbers. I mean, I've heard some estimates as high as 40% of nurses are deciding to retire because, the emotional toll of coming to shift and watching people die every single day is taxing. And I think that would be hard for anybody in any profession, obviously. So across the board, yeah, if you're a healthcare provider and you're thinking of coming back to the profession at some point, we would love to have you. and the hospital has launched several hiring incentives to bring people back on. There's bonuses to be had. And of course, the eternal gratitude of everyone at the hospital if you'll come back and help us out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. And we've talked, I think, a little bit about that, too, in the past on this program, about the need and how the hospital's making it, I think, fairly easy for folks to come back, or retirees maybe to come back and help out for a little bit and things along that line. I mean, it really is at that level of help that's needed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, every hand on deck helps. In fact, I use that term somewhat jokingly because right now we still have a Navy team in our hospital helping out. We've had two Navy teams. One exited a couple of weeks ago. The other will be staying, I think, through February 4th. And then we have contractors from all over the country provided by different third-party agencies helping keep us afloat. So, we love that it's a community hospital, and we love that the people we work with and live with are all from our community. And that's a strong desire of the hospital, is to keep that relationship and to remain a community hospital. And one of the ways we do that is by having our community members that are trained and have these licenses, you know, come work with us. And we're eager to have people back.
Right, especially during this time when the capacity is just so pushed to the limit.
Yeah, absolutely. The issues were already preceded the pandemic. I mean, we already saw a big shrinkage of healthcare workforce even before the pandemic. And, of course, that left fewer people to deal with more and more sick patients and more death in the hospital. So that, of course, didn't make things easier.
Right, right. Well, I know we have a lot of nursing students here at San Juan College who are just trying to get through and to get certified and ready to go to help out. So
awesome.
We're
Come
still
on.
Pushing them out as quick as we can.
Fantastic, and we love to have them.
To help that situation, for sure. Yeah. Dr. Scoggins, we have just a few minutes left this morning to visit, and I wanted to ask you a bit about your advice to parents who are coming in to see you with their kids and maybe have questions about whether it's COVID or other childhood diseases or illnesses that affect kids. I mean, what's your advice to these parents who come in just wondering, because they get bombarded by all these different reports and news and this works, but this works or that works, or try this or ask your doctor about this. What do you say to these parents?
Well, first of all, please come ask. okay? And second of all...
You don't mind that. You don't mind when a patient comes in or a parent comes in and says, I saw this ad on television. Do you think that would help my ex, whatever's going on?
Or I read this post on social media that says that kids are dying all over the place or their fertility is going to be affected by getting the vaccine. Thank God we're not seeing any of that, and nor have we. And we've never had a vaccine with this kind of uptake in this period of time. So the available study data is as good or better as stuff that we've had around for a long time, just by sheer numbers, and by sheer rapidity of uptake.
And I think that's an important thing that you just said. I kind of want to let that sink in mm-hmm. to the audience for just a minute, because I think folks are concerned because this has happened so quickly that gives them pause to say, well, you know, can we trust these studies or can we, you know, trust what we're hearing? And just through the sheer numbers, I mean, we're talking millions of people, right?
We're talking billions and billions of doses at this point.
Thank you. Okay.
So it's huge. Yeah.
And it's almost, I would think, the most studied vaccine ever distributed, too, because of the scrutiny that's being put on it. Would you agree?
I would say that's pretty close to true. I mean, yes, it did happen quickly, but the good news is the technology has been there. This was just the impetus that was needed to make that final step to have it work. And mercifully, it did work, because I think everybody would agree at this point. I think there's pretty good scientific consensus anyway that the death toll would have been significantly higher than it is without that vaccine.
Which is amazing, because it's high enough already, and it's tragic, and every life lost has been a tragedy. But the fact that that number could be even bigger is just hard to even comprehend.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think our probably at this point great grandparents that were alive in the 1918 flu pandemic, I think they'd be green with envy if they had a vaccine that came out during that pandemic. That killed on estimate 50 to 100 million people worldwide, and as a percentage of the world's population at that time, quite a bit bigger even than COVID.
Right. Very true.
Yeah.
Let me go back to my original question, because I interrupted you and I apologize.
No, it's
fine. But I wanted to ask you about, you know, what do you tell parents about, you know, some of the stuff that they're getting bombarded with, and how do you answer some of their questions?
So on the flip side of the coin, yes, it's great that the vaccine has been so well studied and we know so much about it. On the flip side, I think a little too much attention is being paid to COVID in the media, and I think I would encourage people to delete some of their notifications on their news apps, because we don't need preliminary results from every single study that comes out that's showing up as a headline every 5 seconds popping up on our phones, because you know, so many of the conclusions reached by these studies without any attention to the details, like whether they were controlled studies, whether they were empirical, whether they were retrospective, and then not knowing how many patients were included in the studies. I mean, a lot of these studies are tens of patients instead of hundreds or thousands. So whenever you see, oh, preliminary study says, oh, the vaccine doesn't work against Omicron, there's so much more to that story. So I encourage people to stop looking at headlines, because they're there to grab our attention, and they do a very good job, and they create lots of doubt where it probably doesn't need to be.
As a member of the media, I understand your point, and I appreciate that.
And that was not directed at you, Scott.
I don't know if we've helped or hurt them this morning, but hopefully we have helped. But I hear what you're saying, because I think the media does pick up on some of these medical studies for anything, COVID or not. And, you know, and I think if you're seeing it, you know, it says, well, red wine can, you know, give you help your heart, and then the next day it says, no, it can't. So mm-hmm. who knows what the good advice would be.
Yeah. And
take it with a grain of salt, I suppose.
Absolutely.
But not too much salt, because that'll get you in trouble too.
That's right. Yeah, a healthy amount of salt.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you know, keep an eye to these things as they evolve. And, you know, please ask us, because, you know, as your providers, you know, whether it's one of the nurse practitioners in our office or one of our pediatricians, or your doctor, if you're an adult listening to this program, you know, go find out something that's closer to the truth. Keep in mind what science actually is. I heard a nice discussion on what science actually is, and I believe it comes from a French word that means commonly held understanding. So science is a constant search for the truth, and you know, there, I don't know that there's such an entity as the science, so I was always leery when I hear it, the science, or believing in science, because I don't know that it's something to be believed in, but it is something that helps our understanding. And I think, you know, at this point, to go back to the vaccines, because I do want to emphasize how important those are, to keep yourself out of the hospital.
Very true. Very true. And I would imagine for you, you probably have different sources that you try to consult to stay up on different advances in the field and things along that line, treatments and things like that, that you can share with your patients.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even as doctors, we're not immune to this stuff either. I mean, we have, some of our empiric biases, in pediatrics. Like I said, we've been relatively spared. So we've been kind of at an arm's length from this thing. We're having to hear from our adult colleagues what's actually going on in their populations. We do try to be balanced and to look at more of the whole picture and draw data from different sources.
Right. And I think we've always said on this program, too, if you have any questions about getting the COVID vaccine or any vaccine for yourself or your child, the best person to ask would be your doctor, who knows about your other health conditions and impacts on your health and can maybe give you some good counseling about your options if you have them.
Well said. Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Dr. Scoggins, it's always a pleasure to talk with you about this and many other topics. Thank you for the work that you do and your colleagues, and thanks for coming in this morning.
Oh, happy to. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Dr. Brad Scoggins, my guest this morning here on KSJE.
Perfect. Thanks.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did, and if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.